It is time for your KDNK local newscast for this Wednesday morning. I'm Steve Cole, live from the heart of Carbondale's Creative District. Hunger Free Colorado has just issued a new research study on food stamp enrollment and barriers in Colorado's ski resort counties that found Eagle, Pitkin, Rout, and Summit counties have some of the lowest rates of food stamp enrollment in the state. News Director Gavin Dahl spoke to Joelle McClurg, Data and Research Manager at Hunger Free Colorado, to learn more.
We're a statewide nonprofit in Colorado dedicated to the mission of ending hunger in our lifetime. You know, we feel that food is a human right, that everyone deserves to have enough to eat because of how important it is in development and just living a productive and happy life. We look at the different support programs that can help a person thrive, like WIC, like Medicaid, like food stamps. And my focus is on making sure that any, you know, low-income Coloradan who is eligible for benefits is finding ways, either through administrative policy or community outreach, to enroll in these necessary programs to help support them and kind of get them through life storms, we like to say.
For folks who are not familiar with food stamps, what does SNAP stand for and how does it work?
Food stamps, also known as the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, it's the largest federal nutrition assistance program. Benefits are given out to recipients monthly on an EBT card, like a debit card that you can use at, you know, the supermarket. It's a fantastic program. It's effective and it's incredibly important. There are about 40 million Americans currently enrolled. About half of those are kids. So it really is a support program that's helping out a lot of kids on a monthly basis. And the great thing about the food stamp program is it's incredibly responsive to what's going on with the economy. What we saw in the recession was, you know, the caseload for food stamps increased to help meet that need. But now that the economy is starting to improve, we're seeing the caseload fall again. So it's a very good program for helping out folks when they need it.
Hunger Free Colorado's Joelle McClurg, you co-authored a new research study called Food Stamp Enrollment and Barriers in Colorado's ski resort counties. Eagle, Pitkin, Rout, and Summit counties have some of the lowest rates of food stamp enrollment in the state. What did you find in your research to explain why struggling families working for low wages and expensive locales are not enrolling in these programs?
We wanted to identify why that was. We thought that there had to be some common thread kind of running between these counties. And what we found was that these counties are some of the highest per capita income counties in the entire state. They have some of the lowest rates of poverty. And we feel, based on our data analysis and based on speaking qualitatively with community partners in these counties, that there's not a lot of word of mouth that travels between folks. So what you see in other counties is neighbors and friends and family all communicate, and they tell each other about these supportive services that are helping them. And in some of these other counties, you don't really have that word of mouth. So people start to feel almost like islands, like they're isolated in their poverty, in their hunger. And they're not sure what benefits are out there to connect to them and help them in times of need. And they have a difficult time accessing them or even knowing what's available to them.
So it's so interesting that in poorer counties, services are delivered to a higher percentage of eligible families. There's almost like an inverse correlation between income and enrollment.
Exactly. In some of those counties where they have lower incomes, we think anecdotally that there's just more of a community culture that is able to connect folks to these necessary programs. Whereas, you know, I mean, if you're in Aspen, for example, in Pitkin County, you may not think that people around you are suffering from hunger or need assistance. So it's just maybe a little bit of a cultural difference based on where these folks find themselves.
So when you guys talk about in your findings the concept around stigma or shame, how can those of us living at or above the poverty line be better allies?
Really great question. So I think acknowledging hunger as a sort of persistent and visible threat to our lower income friends and neighbors is really important. There's a tendency to want to sweep hunger under the rug and say, oh, they're, you know, my friends and neighbors are doing fine. But that's the thing about hunger is traditionally it's been very invisible. So I think that those of us who aren't experiencing hunger, we can do a better job of being supportive and acknowledging that hunger is a problem that exists, that affects, you know, 1 in 5 children in Colorado, that is very, very ubiquitous. And something that, you know, impacts all of us, because when it impacts just a few members of a community, it's holding back the ability for that community to really thrive and reach its full potential.
And there's also an impact on the local government level. In addition to the families themselves, counties, for example, are missing out on millions of dollars of lost grocery sales and therefore retail sales tax, right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So, you know, food stamps are a great driver of economic activity. Just think about it. It's local benefits that are getting pumped into that local economy, supporting grocers and their employees, their cashiers, supporting local retailers, supporting local producers. And what we found at the federal level is every dollar in food stamps generates about $1.70 in local economic activity. So food stamps are fantastic in terms of economic stimulus and really helping counties thrive. And, you know, some rural communities where grocery stores are maybe closing or business isn't going as well as they would like, you think about it, just a few extra $1 million into that county can really make a big difference for those local businesses.
Here in our Tri-County region of Garfield, Eagle, and Pitkin County, there's just fabulous resources at the local government level and, of course, with local nonprofits and faith groups. So what are some of the specific strategies that Hunger Free Colorado thinks should be employed? I noticed that you guys wrote that in California, there are a couple of ski resort counties that benefit from dedicated outreach funding and seem to have done some good strategic planning around, you know, increased utilization of food stamps. So I'm curious, obviously, our local groups think of Hunger Free Colorado as an ally, as a collaborator, but there is at some point a little bit of you guys prompting folks to maybe think about things differently?
Yeah, absolutely. So in the report, we wanted to identify similar counties that had ski resort industries that were performing a little bit better in food stamp enrollment. And we found a few counties in California, and upon speaking with community members there, we were able to identify that, you know, there's a little bit more of a constructed outreach effort happening from the Department of Human Services at the local level to tell folks about the program, to get folks enrolled. Now, fortunately, you know, in Pitkin and Eagle, the local Department of Human Services is very engaged, and they really want to do a better job of getting folks attached to these necessary services mm-hmm. in their times of need. So we're really happy to be working with them directly and to help connect them with local community partners. Because, again, I think word of mouth is a huge driver. And also, you know, there's some administrative policy shifts that could potentially happen as well. We know a lot of the families in, you know, the Tri-County area are working families. And, unfortunately, you know, getting in to meet your eligibility technician to get enrolled in the program, usually you can't do that during work hours. A lot of these offices close at 3:30 or 4 in the afternoon. So maybe there's an opportunity to increase office hours to make it easier for working families to get in the door and get these benefits they need to help their families.
Seems like another thing that kind of emerged from your key findings in your study was that, in fact, unemployment in ski resort counties is lower than the state average, but in off-season months like May and November, there can be a spike. So I wonder if there's also maybe a plan brewing to specifically try to target some outreach efforts during those times when most folks are hurting the most financially.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, that was sort of a mind-blowing revelation for us. Was we assumed that maybe the reason that food stamp enrollment was lower in these counties had something to do with lower employment rates, but we found the opposite. We found that for 10 months out of the year, the unemployment rate in these counties is lower than the state average, minus those mud season months. So I think it, you know, it really behooves these local industries that are benefiting from maybe seasonal workers to make sure that they're getting attached to these necessary services. Because then that way, you know, they have everything they need. They have enough food to sort of get through these times when maybe, you know, employment is a little bit lower than the state average.
Joelle McClurg is Data and Research Manager at Hunger Free Colorado. We will link to the summary of the new study, Food Stamp Enrollment and Barriers in Colorado's Ski Resort Counties, on our website at kdnk.org. Thanks so much for speaking to us, Joel.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
According to Hunger Free Colorado research, Garfield County enrolls about half of all eligible low-income residents in food stamps, better than the ski resort counties, but still below the state average. More info at hungerfreecolorado.org. Conservationists are handing Donald Trump a short list of species that need protections, and the greater sage-grouse made the top 10. Eric Galatis has more.
As the Obama administration prepares to hand over the reins to President-elect Donald Trump, the Endangered Species Coalition has produced a top 10 list of at-risk species in need of protections. The greater sage grouse, the centerpiece of an ongoing federal effort to conserve more than 60 million acres of western lands, made the list. Haley Hawkins with the coalition says the iconic bird's populations have declined by 97% due to clear-cutting and oil and gas development.
We are asking the next administration to vigorously oppose any congressional attempts to discard the federal conservation plans. More than 350 dependent species will also suffer if the grouse isn't strongly protected.
The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service decided not to put the bird on the endangered species list after a conservation strategy was forged between private landowners, 11 states, and the federal government. The plan has ruffled feathers in some red states, and Congress has introduced measures that would allow governors to override protections. The coalition is also urging the Trump administration to build no new walls along the U.S.-Mexico border, which threaten the jaguar and other species, and to replace existing metal walls with barriers that allow wildlife to pass. Hawkins says jaguars used to roam across the U.S., but only six are known to have lived in Arizona and New Mexico since the mid-1990s.
Our wildlife is part of the public trust, meaning they, quote-unquote, belong to all of us. And I don't see anything more American than protecting that.
Also making the top 10 list of species needing protections are gray, Mexican, and red wolves, the vaquita porpoise, yellow-faced bees, Snake River salmon, the Joshua and bald cypress trees, elkhorn coral, and the African elephant. For KDNK, I'm Eric Galatis.
The public comment period on the Bureau of Land Management's plan to protect the Gunnison sage-grouse has been extended until January 19th. The Gunnison sage-grouse is listed as a threatened species by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. About 4,000 live in the Gunnison Basin, and another 1,000 are scattered across western Colorado and eastern Utah. The BLM manages much of the bird's habitat and wants to amend its resource management plans. Conservation groups have criticized the proposal as doing too little to protect the bird. Deer and elk populations could also benefit from hand thinning of pinyon juniper trees, mowing or roller chopping, prescribed burns, and erosion control, among other methods. A programmatic environmental assessment will cover the Northwest District, plus the Grand Junction Field Office. More information at BLM.gov. Just search for Gunnison sage grouse.